God, he is so awesome in the midst of his people. Let faith rise up. Hallelujah. Is your faith rising up? Are you being built up in the Lord, strengthened in the Lord? It's so important to know the power and the presence of God in your life, to know how faithful he is, how trustworthy he is, how much he is real, and how much he is at work in the midst of us. And this is the awesomeness of God. It's not just that we believe in random things or something just for the sake of believing in it, but we are believing in the evidence, the proof, the essence of truth that has been revealed. And God has revealed his truth in the world, and it's a choice that people make whether or not to accept or to believe. And we all have that choice to make. And we have chosen to believe. We have chosen to believe not just because somebody said it, not just because it's written in a book, but because it has been proven to be real, to be true. And the evidence speaks for itself. And that is the awesomeness of God, that our faith is not in some sort of theory or some sort of idea or just some sort of religious hypothesis, but our faith is in the true and living God and the evidence that he has established before himself. And I am always amazed at how much faith it takes to believe that there is no God, or that God is not real, or he doesn't exist. It takes more faith to believe that, because you have to deny so much, and you have to literally insult your own intelligence to be able to believe that something came out of nothing and that all materialized into what we have today. I would say if somebody told you that they threw a hand grenade into a junkyard and a brand new car came out and they drove off with it, you would feel insulted if they insisted that you would believe that, isn't it? However, that is the world we live in today. That's the exact kind of thing that is taking place in the world around us. And certainly, God has created the heavens and the earth. He created the systems that are in place. And the more we come to know and understand these things, the more it points to the reality of God, the more it helps us to see and believe, to trust in him, and to know that our faith is truly in a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we are talking about God being the builder of the house and how he is establishing us and he is moving us. Do you know that life is not just about surviving and thriving in the world? But we are on a journey. We are on a journey from here to there. Hallelujah. And the here is the earth, the world that we live in. And the there is eternity, into the kingdom of God, heaven, if you will. Certainly, it's more than just an idea or something that we're hoping for or believing in. But it is a reality that when you come to Christ, God immediately goes to work on adapting you and preparing you for the world to come. We are not of this world, so as we are in this world, we are being transitioned and molded for the existence or life in the next world, in the world in which we have been born to become a part of, and that is the kingdom of God. And it's a reality that so often seems to be a distant one, but it really isn't a distant one. It's something that is taking place right now. And what is happening with us is that we are in a struggle to be transformed. And this struggle to be transformed is taking place in a way that we don't always see and understand, yet it really is happening in the midst of us. And so I would like to take you on a little bit of a journey today to help you understand this transition, this process that God is bringing us through. And it begins here with our lead verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, which says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so immediately we see that Paul is making this analogy between our earthly bodies and a tent. Now, Paul was a tent maker, and so this is probably what came to mind more readily, despite the fact that he was trained as a scribe and a Pharisee of the house of Israel, and he understood the whole concept of the tent from the Old Testament. And so putting these two things together, he uses this analogy to help us to understand that we are being made for eternity in heaven. That is what God is preparing us for. He is molding us and he's aligning us so that our minds and our lives will be adapted for a way of life that will be as we go into eternity. That is what we are preparing for. And so I would like to use as a theme today, tent, tabernacle, and temple. Tent, tabernacle, and temple. Just so happens to be three T's, hallelujah. And so are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, join me as we pray. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would mold us and shape us into the image of Christ, into the people that you have called us to be. And I ask, God, that you would establish yourself among us. Help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we may receive of your word and be strengthened by your Spirit, that we may have power to live out the very words of God. I pray, Lord, that you would build our faith and you would strengthen us and enable us to believe at every juncture and circumstance of life that we face, that you would enable us to overcome every obstacle that comes our way in the strength of God by the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, certainly, we know that in the Word of God, the Israelites were the people of God, and what God was in the process of doing with them was bringing them out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And this is a picture of the life of the believer. We are coming out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, and that whole mentality and mindset, and we're being brought through a process where we are learning and adapting our mindset and our ways to that which is going to be represented in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. And so we are not going to be able to live in eternity with a carnal or earthly mindset. We will need a Christ-like or a heavenly mindset in order to thrive in the land that God is preparing for us, in the place that he is preparing for us. We all know that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And we know that that is what is happening in the world. That is what is taking place in the life of the believer. We know and we understand from Genesis that the world is a fallen world. It is in sin. In fact, we are born in sin. Everything about the world has been tainted by sin. It was originally created with an eternal program, if you will, that is working in it in order for it to continually perpetuate itself and for life to continue on and life to thrive, and things were designed to be in this cycle of perpetuating life begetting life. And it wasn't until sin came into the world that began to digress. And though even though things beget life, over time they beget less and less life, until ultimately that which brings life dies. And so that process is what we see in all of creation, and we certainly see it in human life. Sooner or later we begin, and we start as a babe, as a child, one that has begotten, has received life from the one who has begotten life, and we grow and we mature to a place where we're able to bring forth life ourselves, and we transfer what we have been built up into the new lives that are coming behind us, and ultimately we end up therefore dying, and then there is eternity, because God's plan is not that we would die and then that would be it. I know many of the Jehovah's Witnesses would try to say that when you die, it's all over and that's it, and many other religious groups would kind of believe a similar thing, but that is not what the Bible teaches. What God says is that there is what is known as eternal life. There is eternity, which is always in existence. And we are being transformed from the created world into the new world that God is establishing and is created. And so he is preparing us to have the right mindset and the right focus, so that we would be able to live even as Christ modeled in this world, and in the next. What Jesus accomplished was the living out of the Word of God. He became the Word made flesh. And you and I are in the process of being transformed into the Word made flesh. And as we live our lives, as we move through life, we are looking for God. We are listening for God. We are being led by the Spirit of God, and we are being moved in a way that navigates us through the challenges and the difficulties of life. The Word of God tells us that in this world we will have tribulation. We will have challenges and difficulties. But God says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And the premise is, as long as you stick with me, kid, you'll be all right. Hallelujah. You'll be all right. But if you wander off on your own, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to have problems. You are going to be impacted and consumed by this world that is designed to bring you down. The world is designed to destroy people of God. Satan has established that. And that is why people who do not follow God, once they come into a knowledge of God, end up having experiences that are not exactly what they would prefer. And that is because once God is a part of your life, or once you become aware, he is constantly trying to get you to see your need for a Savior, your need for him. And that is why when you pray for people, it's not in vain. When you have someone praying for you, you just might as well give up. You just might as well give up and do what is right. Because if you don't, the Spirit of God will be after you. God will continually be there to draw at you, to help you to see you need help. There's nothing worse than being in a position where God is trying to prove to you that you need his help. Hallelujah. I would just rather say, "You're right, Lord. I need your help. Help me. Help me, Lord." Because if not, you're going to go through one issue after the next, one problem after the next. How many households and people do you know that are having one issue after the next, one problem after the next, another one and another one and another one? And it will continue, and it seems like it just never ends. But there's always somebody in that house that is rebelling against God. There's always someone in that house that is not quite coming into alignment. And God will do everything he can to say, "You see, you need help. You see, you need me. I can help you. I want to be there for you. And he will prove himself over and over again. And you will go through the fire, not because God put you through the fire. God just says, I'm going to let you go which way you want to go. And then you're going to automatically find yourself in trouble. Why? Because without the Spirit's leading, that's what happens. You will automatically, because of this fallen world, find yourself in trouble. And that's why it's always best to serve God. And the Israelites, they learned this lesson as they were going through the wilderness. They had people like the man named Korah and his other family members and friends and those people who sided with him, who gave Moses a really hard time and really rebelled against pretty much everything Moses was trying to do, because their mentality was that of the Egyptians. They had an Egyptian mentality. And the first thing God wants to get rid of from the child of God is a carnal or a worldly mentality. You need a heavenly mentality. You need the mentality of the kingdom of God. It is not the same as the world. The world is actually upside down, and they think backwards. And so as a result, the things that they think that they are doing that are good are actually evil in regards to the principles of divine design. And they actually go against God, but they can't see that they're wrong or that they're off because they're of a carnal mentality. Satan has blinded the minds and the eyes of the unbelievers. That's what the Word of God tells us. So you and I, who have the light of Christ, we cannot allow them to lead us in the way of the world, because otherwise we will find ourselves at enmity with God. We know in John chapter 15, we can't be both the friends of the world and be the friends of God. It's one or the other, because they're both, they're complete opposites to each other. It's like saying, I love the light, but I don't want to pay the electric bill. You can't have light in your house without paying the bill. And that means you have to make sure that everything is in right order, so that you can reap the benefits of enjoying good electricity and light. And so Paul, as we look at this, shows us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 how God is moving us and how he's molding us and building us. And so in verse 1, he says, we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want you to hold on to this, because this is the principle that I am talking about. It is the very thing that you and I are experiencing as the people of God. The tent representing our human bodies, our physical body. Your body is known as the tent. And so it is the house in which the real you dwells. Your identity, your personality, the thing that makes you you is living in this body. There is a difference between your body and you, right? Aren't you glad? Because the real you can exist no matter what body God puts you in. You will still be you. Your identity will still be you. And so once you understand this foundation, that God is referring to the body as a tent, the tent is a temporary place or dwelling place that is used when traveling. Isn't that right? Right? So if you go somewhere and you're going to stay in a tent, that doesn't mean that that's where you live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, right? It means you're going on a camping trip. You're going on a temporary trip, and you're staying in a portable or collapsible, movable structure. And in the Old Testament, in those days when they traveled through the wilderness, that was important because they were always moving. They were going somewhere. They were moving from Egypt to the Promised Land. And when you realize you're on your way somewhere, you don't take root and you don't get caught up in the things of this world and in this life. You realize they are just temporary. You are moving from here to there. So everything you have becomes disposable. It's used for a particular time or purpose, and then you're done. You're moving on. And we know this because I don't know about you, and I've checked many, many times. I've never seen a U-Haul or trailer behind a hearse as it was on its way to the funeral or the gravesite. Everybody leaves everything behind. In fact, people leave stuff behind and they have all kinds of junk and stuff, and now the family members are stuck having to clean up all that stuff you wouldn't throw away because someday you were going to use it. Someday may never come. And so you might as well get rid of the stuff that you're not using so that those who come to clean up after you won't have to do it. You're only making work for your other relatives and friends, and in some cases, church members, to have to come and clean out your house. So do us all a favor and get rid of everything that you are not using right now and give it away and be a blessing to somebody. Because life is temporary. All that you have is temporary, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know when God says, by the way, your new home is ready. I need you to come home right now because we have some new decorating ideas we need your input on. And so when your time is up, you will leave, because when God calls, everybody responds. And that's a beautiful thing. And we know that our life is in God. And so as a result, this tent that we live in, when it's torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. God has a place prepared for you, a place prepared for me. He goes on, he says, for indeed in this house we groan. The word there, groan, is stenazo. And I looked it up because, I don't know, I just felt the Holy Spirit was like, look this up. And so I did, and I thought it was very interesting. And I learned that that word is the word that that groans. It's translated groans, and you guys have it groan in your Bibles. And it's not just to groan, but it means that there's pressure, something, you know, causing you. It's like, ugh. In fact, the illustration that's used is a woman in childbirth. When a woman is in childbirth, right as they're ready to give birth to the child, now I haven't experienced this myself. I just want to clarify this. But I have experienced it as an observer, right? I've seen this happen several times. And what happens is right when it's near time to give birth, all of a sudden, the mother begins to say, I feel like I have to push. Do I have that right? You mothers, you get to that point where no matter what, it doesn't matter what's happening, it doesn't matter what you're doing, who's there, what's going on, all of a sudden you get to this point where you feel like you just have to push. That's stenazo. That's the stenazo of God. It's that groan where you're going, and you're trying to not push, but you want to push. But you're not pushing, but you want to push, because there's always the people there that say, wait, not yet. Let me get things ready. It's like, why aren't you ready already? You knew I came here to do this. How is it that you're not ready? I don't understand. I don't know. There's just nobody around. You know, you're there by yourself. You got a couple of family members. What do these doctors do? They must all think that there's plenty of time. But there never seems to be plenty of time when people think there is plenty of time, which makes you want to think, how is it that you can just assume that you have plenty of time when you know you don't really have plenty of time? Because as soon as you assume you have plenty of time, the time is gone. And that's the way it works, isn't it? And that's how life is. And so here you are feeling this stenazo, this groan. You go, you ever heard a woman give birth? They make a noise. Do you ever hear a quiet birth? You ever hear a woman go, oh, yes. That was lovely. That was very nice. I think I'll do that again next year. No. They're like, It's like, what is all that noise? You're a grown woman. Do you really got to make all that noise? You know, if it was a little kid, you'd be going, shh, shh, now, shh, 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 shh. No, no, this is not the place. We're in public. Here you are, legs all up and open. No. When you're in that position, you don't want to be making a whole lot of noise. But guess what? You want everybody to come, help, everybody. Why? Because the stenazo, you're feeling that push, that longing. The word longing there is epatheo, epipatheo, and it means to yearn affectionately. In other words, it's a good feeling. The Spirit of God, when it is growing in you, when he's stirring within you, he makes you want to move forward, push forward in God. And you have this longing. There's a good feeling. Do you know what it's like to be in the presence of God? Do you know what it's like to experience him and to know him in the pardon of your sins and to just be in an atmosphere of worship? Oh, there's something about it. When we were worshiping earlier, could you feel the presence of the Lord? Could you feel the anointing of God as it filled the room? Oh, the presence of God. It makes a big difference. Some people, they say, oh, how can you be in church all day? How can you spend so much time in church? It's like, how do you stay so much in the world? How do you spend so much time in a carnal atmosphere? I would rather be in an atmosphere where the Spirit of God is moving, where healing is taking place, where revival is taking place, where you're being refreshed, where life is being breathed on you. The anointing is in the air. Oh, you breathe. Oh, it's not coronavirus air. It's Spirit of God washed air. It's presence of God washed air. There is an anointing. There is a spirit that is at work in the midst, and it is one that is drawing us and moving us as it stenazos us, pushes us with a longing and a yearning of affection for the sake of the kingdom of God, so that we can be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Do you have a yearning for God in his presence? I tell you, when you feel the Spirit, I tell you, when the flesh rises up, you have that feeling. You know that when the flesh rises up, you know how you start to feel. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's frustration, sometimes it's just, you're just tired and you're just overwhelmed, or you feel like, you know, you're edgy and you need to get stuff done. You know, all of those feelings that the world brings upon us. But when you're in the presence of God, there is an anointing. All of a sudden, the peace of God comes over you. All of a sudden, you feel invigorated by the Spirit of God. All of a sudden, there's like a charging. Like all of a sudden, you just want more of God. You're hungry. You're thirsty. Oh, you cannot get enough. You just don't want the worship to end. You just don't want the Word of God to end. And you take it in, and you take it in. And all of that, that's what it means when you're being clothed in the dwelling of heaven. You're being transformed into the image and the presence of God. Paul goes on, he says, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. In other words, you have to put it on. Saints of God, you can't just come into the house of God, into the worship of God, and just sit. You have to engage. You have to participate. You sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You lift up holy hands unto God. I see people, they just stand and they just like, you're just standing there. They're just, oh, now they have masks. Masks. I can't see anybody. Nobody sees me. You're never going to get what God has for you. But when you lift up holy hands, all of a sudden the weights go, they fall off. Hallelujah. All of a sudden the burdens go, they start to fall off. All of a sudden you start to go, ooh, hallelujah. You start to feel the anointing. You start to feel. And when you start to sing, when you just go, oh, holy night, all of a sudden things begin to change. All of a sudden things begin to shift. all of a sudden you start to feel something. Why? Because your soul and your body become one with the atmosphere and the presence of God. And the anointing of God begins to wash through and all around and about you. And you begin to become transformed. Your tent is being transformed into a tabernacle, the tabernacle of God. And so he goes on, he says, for indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, we stenazel, being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Hallelujah. Do you want to see life imparted to you? Do you want that life of God to be that consume you? That is what he is talking about, the groaning of God, that pushing, that moving in God, that unctioning of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, God wants us to be clothed with the tabernacle of God. Don't you want to be clothed as a tabernacle of God? Oh, my goodness. I want my body to be a place where the Spirit of God dwells, where there's worship taking on in the inside. You see me on the way to work, I'm moving like this. What's wrong with that guy? He's got some serious worship going on in there. Those people just can't keep still in there. Oh, they're jumping, they're raising God, they're worshiping, and I'm just a tabernacle. I'm just holding it all in. Oh, hallelujah. And I got the joy of the Lord. It's stirring, and it's overflowing from me. Why? Because God has transformed me from a tent. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a tabernacle or a temple than a tent. Oh my goodness, we had almost that, right? When we started out a little tent, right? Started out in the living room. And then we went to the, well, we call it the bowling alley, but the prefab building. And, you know, now we're here. Hallelujah. And God is building us. He's moving us to a place where we can have a tabernacle, a temple, where we can have a place where the Spirit of God can dwell. I believe that as the days become more and more evil, people are going to become more and more aware of the evil and the move that's taking place because of the word that they've heard over the years. And they start to come to a faith and belief in Christ. And they start to believe that the word of God is true as they see the world change. And they're going to be running towards the temple, running towards the tabernacle, running towards the house of God. And they're going to be looking for the reprieve of God's presence and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And God is preparing his people so that we can be the ambassadors and the witnesses that he has called us to be. He is enabling us to be ready for the stenazo that those who have yet to know him will begin to have and want to come to a place where they can be ministered to, where they can be built up and encouraged and strengthened, and that the glory of God can be imparted to them. Paul says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. When the God, Spirit of God is at work in you, when you're yielded and surrendered to God, you want to please God. Something within you, it's compelling you. I just want to do what is right before God. Do you have that feeling inside? I just want to obey God. I just want to do what is right before God. Oh, that is my ambition. That is what God is calling me to do. And it says, whether at home or absent, whether we're alive in this body or whether we're in the presence of the Lord, one of those two places, no matter where you are, you're going to want to please God. So you might as well start now. Start now while you're absent from the Lord. Oh, so that when you're at home with the Lord, you will be already adapted. You'll be like, oh, yes, I'm used to this. Oh, this is going to be lovely. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, this is even better than I thought. Wow, thank God I got warmed up. This is like the you get an exercise, you do the warm-ups, right? You know, before you do any real working out, you always have to do your warm-ups, right? You got to do, you know, obviously I don't really do it too often, but you know, you always got to get warmed up. You always got, you know, I was a swimmer, so we used to do warm-up laps, right? We were just slow and easy. You swim down, you come back, you swim up. Yeah, and then that would warm you up, get everything loosened up so that you're ready for the race. And that's what life is like. God says, I'm warming you up. I'm warming you up. I'm helping you to see that you're going to be in a place where there is going to be glory, where there's going to be power, and there's going to be a move of the Spirit of God. There's going to be an anointing. And so he says, get ready by learning how to please God. Please God now. Please God as you live your everyday life. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed or paid for his deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see, there's a payday coming. God says that you're going to give an account for all the things that you do as you live in this world. Everyone gives an account. And we're going to be examined by the Lord, and he's going to reward us or pay us according to the deeds that we have done. And that's why what we do is so important. That's why it's so important to please the Lord, to live for God, to be sure to do what the will of the Lord is. You see, God has given us a map. He has given us a design plan so that we would be able to follow his principles and his ways as we go through life and stay faithful and true to him so that we can navigate the storms, the challenges, and the difficulties that are in the world. You see, people ask, why is there so much evil in the world? It's because sin has overtaken the world. And because sin has overtaken the world, that's where the evil came from. So God, in his grace and his mercy, says, don't worry, sin has overtaken the world, but I've overcome the world. I will show you how to live in a way where what is taking place in the world will not hinder you from reaching your goals and your objectives, and you will be able to make it into the kingdom that I've prepared for you, the place that I'm preparing for you. And this is the journey that we're on. This is what God is doing. He's moving us from the tent to the tabernacle. And as we become more tabernacle oriented, God strengthens us. That's where healing takes place. That's where renewal takes place. Revival takes place. We have the attributes of Christ: love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. All these things start to come up in our lives and begin to become a part of who we are. And all of a sudden we're transformed from the inside out. And where we had no patience, now we have patience. Where we had no peace, now we have peace. Where we didn't have any joy, now we can't stop having joy. We got joy, everlasting joy, and it's overflowing. We have love when we had no love. We didn't like anybody. We had a problem with this and a problem with that. All we could see is one problem after the next, whether it was with people or whether it was the jobs or whether it was with life itself. God is able to turn it all around, and he can breathe life into it. And so as we are molded and shaped into the image of God, God enables us to overcome. It's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is transforming us so that we're not easily blown down. I remember the story of the three little pigs. And the one built his house with straw. The next one built his house with sticks, I think it was. And then the last one made it out of bricks. And the wolf came along, and he saw their houses. And what did he do? He huffed first. Yeah, he huffed first. He huffed, and then he puffed. And there's a lot of huffing and puffing that goes on in the world today. A lot of people saying and talking a whole lot of stuff. And there's all kinds of huffing and puffing. And eventually the goal is to blow your house down. Isn't that right? And depending on what your house is made of, that's how much huffing and puffing your house can take before it's blown down. And we ought to be strengthened in God so that we are not so easily, like the reeds in the wind, the Word of God says, tossed to and fro by every thought or idea that somebody brings our way, but that we would be able to be strengthened and steadfast in God. He says that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to give an account and be repaid for the deeds that we have done in our bodies. Well, we don't want to be like the house made out of straw. We don't even want to be the house made out of sticks. It's much better to be the house of stone or the house of rocks, built on the rock, the Word of God says, the brick house. And that is the place where God is trying to get us. You see, a tent is not built on a brick, or it's not built on a rock. It's built in the sand, in the desert, in the dirt.
And the whole idea is that it's not going to be there long anyway. And when the storms and the winds come, everybody's rushing to try to hold it down. I've been camping in winter storms where snow and ice and sleet and all kinds of bad weather has been blowing against. In fact, I was one time I was camping down in Wanacue, New Jersey, up in the mountains, and it was so cold and the blizzard came in. When we took all the stakes and all the poles out of the tents, they still stood. Hallelujah. Everything froze overnight while we were there. And I tell you, you don't want to be in a position where you can't tolerate the climate that you're in. And God says, make sure that your house is solid, that you're well built on the foundation of Christ. The foundation has been laid. How are you building on the foundation? I pray that you, what you are doing, what you are saying, the deeds that you are doing in your body are in alignment with the word of God, with the truths of God, that you are doing what the will of the Lord is and not your own will, not what comes to your mind, not the way you feel, not the way you think, but what is the Spirit of God saying? That is what we ought to do. Paul goes on and he says here in verse 11, he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. And so here is Paul. He is saying, we know the fear of God. I pray that you know the fear of God. We live in a day and age where everybody is trying to downplay the fear of God. They say, well, it's really a respect, the kind of sense of where we are, you know, we honor the Lord, and you know, we have all these ways. Yeah, tell that to the people who are in the wilderness when the ground opened up and the fire came through and they all fell down consumed after Moses said, who's going to serve the Lord and who's not? I think they were more than just reverent before the Lord. I think it's just a matter of reverence. No, I think they were quaking in their boots. I think they knew the fear of God. I think they were concerned about what in the world God was going to say. And when God said, go over there, they were like, I'm here, Lord. I'm here. I'm here. And I tell you that when you have the fear of the Lord, it compels you to do the right thing. I know my parents instilled that in me quite good. I learned that when my parents said, do this or do that, I knew I better do it, because I remember hearing this, the Hot Wheels track. I'll never forget that sound as long as I live. Now, I heard it as it left welts on my little bottom back here. I learned it even better as I watched my brothers dance. Dance, 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 and it was no music playing. It was only the sound of the Hot Wheels track. I remember what it was like to be disciplined. And I learned that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. And so it's so important that we have an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Yes, it's reverence. Yes, it's that we respect God and we honor the Lord. But we're no fools either. We're going to obey God because we know there's evil in the world. And we don't want him to let his hands off of us so that Satan can have his way. Because he is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And guess who he's looking for first? The people of God. Those who are in the and of the kingdom of God. No sense chasing after people who are already lost in their sins and demonic, because he's already got them. So no point in chasing them, because they're not going anywhere but to hell. So therefore, he's looking for those who are the redeemed of the Lord. And he's saying, I've got to stop them before they are effective at stopping others from going to hell also, from bringing the word of life and the word of truth to those in darkness. And we are in a day where people poo-poo at such thoughts and such ideas. But there won't be any poo-pooing on the day. Well, maybe there will be some poo-pooing on the day when they stand before the Lord to give an account of the deeds that they've done in their bodies.
And so it says, I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. This is the tabernacle of God. This is the tent of meeting that they had in the wilderness. And we can certainly see that it is a temporary structure held up, very similar to tents that we have today, with the lines holding up the walls of the fabric along around the sides of the tent. And then, of course, the center tent, which is the tent of meeting. But this entire area is the area where the Spirit of God would come down. And no matter where you were in the places of Israel, when God showed up, everybody could see it. You could see the cloud come down. And then when the cloud came down, the glory of the Lord would come into the tent of meeting. This is the inner area of the Holy of Holies, the place where the high priest would go once a year, and it's where the glory of God would come in. And the glory of God would come in, and he would dwell in this place. And it was a powerful experience. And as you can see, it's made out of goat skins and hairs, and it's made out of animals and flesh, because it was made by men for God to dwell in. But God says, I'm preparing a place that was not made by hands. It is by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. How fortified is that place? It won't be temporary. It won't be taken down and moved from one place to the next. It will not die and go back to the earth or whatever material it came from, but it will have everlasting life within it. It will live forever. It would dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. This is what God is building in the midst of you and I. He is using us and molding us and shaping us to advance the kingdom of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? And so here is Paul laying out the fact that they're babes in Christ. You see, everyone goes through this stage, this phase where you're a babe in Christ. I'm sorry to say that I've been involved in the church a long time, and I have seen people in their 60s and 70s, and they're still babes in Christ. A babe is where somebody else has to compel them to do the right thing. Whether they're little kids or like teenagers, they don't have enough of their frontal lobe developed, so therefore they make bad decisions. So you need somebody to help you, to guide you along. And often you get people who rebel against what is right and what is true. And they say, oh, I don't want to do it, right? You ever have kids? They don't want to come to church, right? Oh, I don't want to come to church. Oh, I don't want to do what's right. I want to stay home and sleep. Why can't we watch church on TV? Why can't we watch church on TV? That's the cardinal mind at work. That is the nature of evil that is at work in the hearts of men. And God is saying that I want to put something in you that will stir you. I want to put something in you that will bring life to you, that will cause you to want to push forward in God, that will cause you to want to worship and celebrate and give thanks unto God, that you would experience his glory. That's the whole idea. When you participate in worship, you experience the power of God. You will never experience the power of God from within yourself without engaging in the things of God. You must engage in the Spirit of God. You can't just stand there and watch. That's like expecting to become more healthy because you went to the gym. Hallelujah. Well, I went to the gym today. Oh, yes. Well, what exercises did you do? Well, I watched them run on a treadmill, and I watched a few people there as they lift some really heavy weights. Quite impressive. Oh, my goodness. What an atmosphere. Ah, you could smell the sweat and the hard work that was being put in. Wow, what a great place. Looking at all these people who are trying to get their lives in shape. Ah, boy, that was wonderful.
yeah, I was there about an hour or two, and then I had a cup of coffee, and now I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm here. This is the way people go to church. They have that same kind of mentality. But I tell you, if you want to experience God, engage in applying the word of God in your life. It's great to be able to go to the gym. Listen, if you're there, you might as well engage. Participate. Get on a treadmill for yourself. Begin to lift some kind of weights for yourself. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Start with just a little. Maybe you're a babe. Start slow. See if you can get your hands up. Hallelujah. Ho, ho, ho. Because Satan holds people's hands down. It's a spirit of oppression and bondage that holds your hands down. And you don't really know you have it until you try to do it. And once you start to do it, you start to go, ooh, ooh, wow, why is this so hard? Oh, yeah. You're like, then you're like, hallelujah. Right? And it's a challenge. It's a struggle. But it's a spiritual litmus test, in a sense, for you. So you can see how free you are. Because when you go to the game, you're like, yeah! And you're able to jump up, and you got popcorn and candy and hot dogs, and man, you're excited. You got all kinds of stuff going on. Man, we're coming to root and cheer our team on. We come to church, we come to sit and watch. And, man, I hope they sing my song today. I hope I get a good word from the pastor. I have no intentions of applying it, but, man, I hope it makes me feel good. Hallelujah. We got to engage. Engage in the things of God, in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God. And that's what God is building up. And he is trying to enable us to overcome and not be like mere men. Not to be fleshly, not to be caught up in, oh, well, oh, they offended me, they hurt my feelings, and oh, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and oh, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, oh, I'm too busy, oh, I can't do another thing, oh, I don't want to, poo, 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 who's going to change my pamper? And we have a lot of Christians that are living like that. And God is trying to drive that mentality far from us so that we're not carnal, so they're not worldly. And we're looking for a great move of God, but we don't align ourselves with the word so that we can receive it. And God is trying to position his people. He's trying to place his people in a place where the Spirit of God can breathe on them, can blow upon them, can strengthen them, and actually shield them against the huffing and the puffing that have designed to blow your house down. And we know that God is the protector and the shielder that covers us in our lives. Verse 8 says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but which will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And what is that labor? Whether or not you do what the Spirit of the Lord has called you to do. Are you faithful to God? You will be the one who God is looking to accomplish his will and his purposes. Each and every one of us have a plan and a purpose engaged in our life that God has set us on. And as we obey the word of God and as we do these things, as we apply these principles, the word of God is so critical to overcoming the world. If we don't apply the word of God, we will not overcome the world. The world will overcome us. And if we are not, it doesn't matter how much we say we love God. It doesn't matter how much we say, I'm trying to do the right thing. It doesn't matter how much we say all this stuff and we say, I believe God and I got faith. Well, then show me your faith by your good works. Isn't that what James says? And we have to align what we're saying to ourselves with what is going on in our hearts so that we can actually do what the Word of God says so that we can have the manifestation of God. And because it's what you do that will determine what you get. And if you want God's provision and his covering, we have to do what the will of the Lord is. Not according to our own will, but the will of God. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Hallelujah. And God is building us up. He is transforming us from a tent. Not a tent is not a building. A tent is a tent. but God wants to make you a structure, a building that is secure, rooted and grounded on a strong foundation. That's what the process of life is all about. And that's why we're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through difficulties. But God says, I'm going to lead you through them so that you will come through in a way that it actually benefits you rather than harm you. It's going to cause you to be blessed instead of experiencing the results of a curse. And a lot of Christians, it's not that they're cursed, it's that they're experiencing the curse that's already there because they failed to follow the road of life, the road of provision. Once you get off the path of righteousness, there's nothing but curses all around you. And so you are reaping the curse when you fail to align yourself with the path of righteousness. This is what God is leading us through. That's why we have tents. Because God says, don't you worry, when you get where you're supposed to be, there is a house that I'm already building for you. There's a structure that I'm not even using my hands. I'm gonna blow on it. My spirit is gonna be at work. The Spirit of God is going to build it. God is preparing a place for you and I. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. We are being called of God to fulfill the word of God. How you respond to what the working of the Spirit of God is doing as we apply the word of God in our lives is what determines how we build. And some of us are building out of selfishness, out of what is convenient for us, how we feel. Well, if I feel this or I think that, and we're operating based on a fallen mentality, a carnal mindset, because we're operating in our own strength. But when you're operating in the strength of the power of the Spirit of God, there is no limit to what you can achieve, to what you can do. You can accomplish and do abundantly more than he who could ever ask or imagine. If you surrender yourself to God, you will be engaged by the Spirit of God. You will be unctioned by the Spirit of God. Satan likes to get Christians so busy that when God really calls on them to do something that's going to be pivotal and effective, they don't have time or the vision or the wherewithal to follow through to do it. And they think that in their own self-righteous acts that they are somehow justified because they're busy in the ways of God. But I can assure you that that is a myth that you will find yourself suffering through, and it will bite you later on in the end if you continue on with that mindset. And this is why God is calling us to be faithful. And that's why being a part of the church is so important. We help one another to stay on track, to stay engaged. And when God engages us in the work of the ministry, the work of the church together, we become as one people, as one purpose, one call of God. We're on one accord. And in the unity of the manifestations of God through the believers that gather together, we are able to accomplish a great work. This is what God is working to do. You and I are not here just because it's a good thing to do, even though it is a good thing to do, even though it's a great place to be, and it is a great place to be. But we are here because we're going somewhere, because we are being molded in the process of traveling. We are moving from Egypt to the promised land. We are moving through the desert and through the dry lands and through the warfare and the challenges of opposition and difficulty and sickness and diseases that are taking place all around us. But we are navigating through it all. Why? Because the Spirit of God is at work in the midst of his people. And as we stay faithful, as we stay true to the word of God, as we align ourselves, some people, they want to step off the road just a little bit. Other people, they're running off into the bushes somewhere. But you need to stay on the road of life, to stay on the path of righteousness. Narrow is the road, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life and eternity. We have to walk very carefully that we stay in alignment, because God is bringing us through the darkness.
He's bringing us through the opposition and the hardships and the oppressions and the bondages of the sinful world that we live in. And he is navigating us carefully, one step at a time, one day at a time. And as we're faithful to God, he sustains us. He keeps us. He says in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Oh, be careful, saints of God. Be careful how you're building on it. It's not very difficult to make a misstep. It's not easy to stay in line with what God is calling us to do. It's very easy to step outside. And that's why we need each other. We need to be able to have people to lean on to help us to stay on course so that we don't get discouraged or we don't get worn out or we don't get tired or we don't get deceived and fooled by what's happening. Because if you listen to the world, they will always sound authentic and correct. But I can assure you that that is what Satan does. That is why Eve was deceived in the garden, because of that very, very skill set that is operating in the world still today. And so he says in verse 11, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, now if any man builds on this foundation with gold or silver or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Well, that is the huffing and the puffing that will blow your house down. And when God huffs and he puffs, you better have Christ as a foundation. You need to have built up on the Word of God. And the Spirit of God needs to be your anchor and your indwelling spirit of strength that will hold you together. And when the hardships of life come, you will need Christ at your core. You will need the Spirit of God to unction you. You need something to push so that you will stay the course. Something that's going to give you joy, an unspeakable joy, even when things don't look so joyful or joyous in the world around you. You will still have the Spirit of God. You see, the key to this and the essence and the awesomeness of this is that when everything is dark, gloomy, evil, oppressive, and at its worst condition, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And when everything is going to hell in a handbasket, you are there going, hallelujah, glory be to God. Why? Because you overcame an obstacle. Because you were able to duck as the enemy tried to take a swing at you. You were able to navigate around. You were able to overcome. You were able to make your way. Why? Because the Spirit of God was with you. And because you stay true to God, as you stay faithful to God, you will see the glory of God manifested in your life. Oh, saints of God, hold on. Hold on and watch as God test the world with fire, and you are able to be preserved as you go through the challenges and the difficulties of life. Be careful how you're building. Be careful how you're living, the choices that you're making, the decisions that you make. Stay true to the Word of God, to the will of God, as the Spirit of God goes to work. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And that fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, if there's anything left after the fire goes through it, then you will receive a reward. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? That's interesting, right? Because here it is, it says that you have to go through something. Why is it that when you watch YouTube, everybody's trying to get out of going through something? Everybody's talking about, oh, I'm going to be raptured out of here. I'm going to be out of here. I don't care. I won't be here. Well, maybe you will. And if you will, now what? Now what's your plan? What's your plan if you're wrong? Hallelujah. Because I remember Noah having to build an ark. He didn't say, I'm going to be raptured out of here. God says, you better get to work, brother. And
Whenever there's oppression and bondage and hardship and challenges, they went through the wilderness. They had challenges. They had difficulties. They had all kinds of problems. They weren't raptured from Egypt into the promised land. No, they weren't. They had to fight their way through, and they had to walk in obedience and trust God. And that's the image that we get, not only in the book of Genesis, but all the way through to Revelation. Oh, will there be a rapture? Yes, there will. But nobody knows when it will be. And nobody knows for sure. There are all kinds of speculations. There's at least three viable options of the way this plays out in Scripture. At least three. And there are probably a couple of others. There are some ways that are more popular. Certainly the one that gets everybody out, you know, everybody's jumping on that bandwagon because nobody wants to be around. But I can assure you that there is a good chance that you will be around during the hardship and the difficulties talked about in the last days. And if people will be around, I'm talking about the church and the people of God, then that means you will need to be ready. And if you are going to be made ready, you need to walk carefully. And that means all of these things are that much more important for us to grab hold of and hold on to. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, if you get raptured tomorrow, then praise God, you're ready already. Hallelujah. But if the Lord tarries, now you're going to have to give an account. And the question is, what will the report say of you? And I don't know about you, but I don't care when the rapture is. I want to be ready. I want to be ready now. I want to be ready when it happens, because these things are all equally important. We must be careful to allow the will of God to be accomplished in our lives. If any man's work, which he has built on, if it remains, he will receive a reward. I want my work to remain. I want to receive the reward of, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, those are the choices. And so Paul goes on in verse 15 and says, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, saints of God, I pray that you understand that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you understand the importance of staying true to God. That's why Paul goes on here and says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? He says, what harmony has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? This is the question that we all must wrestle with in the 21st century, in this decade of the 2020s. It says in verse 16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Saints of God, this is what God is doing in our lives. This is what he's bringing about. And we should not allow anyone to distract us from staying true to the call of God, staying faithful, not father, nor mother, nor sister, nor brother, no relative, no friend, no coworker, no neighbor, and no demon from hell, no other theology or ideology, no other false religion or belief or subject or topic ought to throw us off course. We need to stay faithful to God and his word. We need to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in the word of the Lord as the Spirit of God guides us through. And finally, he says in verse 17 and 18, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Do you want more of God? Do you want to experience God and the Spirit of the Lord? Do you want God's provision and his ways to be manifested among you? Then stay true to God. Stay faithful to his word. He says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, I pray that you are desiring and you feel the push to be a part of the family of God, of the call of God and the will of God. That as the writer of Hebrews says in verse
11 of chapter 9, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things of to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation. In other words, it's not something that is part of the creation, part of the world. It's not made like the tent of old, made out of string and animal skins and all the things that man was able to put together to build the tent. But this is made by the Spirit of God. It is made by the glory of God. God himself establishes and is building his temple for you and I to dwell in. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Oh, saints of God, it's not about my will. It's not about what I want. It's not about what you want. It's not about what's good for you or what's convenient for you or what you can do or what you can't do or what you feel like doing, what you don't feel like doing. It's what is God saying you need to do. You need to be about your Father's business and not your own. Whether your own business is religious or whether it's carnal or secular, you need to give it up. You need to make sure you are about your Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business, doing the will of God. That's why 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, verse 20 here says, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You keep it clean, don't you? Yeah, hallelujah. I bet you wash it every day. Hallelujah. I bet you keep it nice and clean and you take care of it and you try to make it comfortable wherever it decides to rest. And you have all kinds of things that you do. You dress it up real nice. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And God says, make sure you glorify him after you do all of that. Glorify him in your body. Glorify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Allow him to be lifted up and exalted so that you can be the temple of the Spirit of God in an honorable manner. This is the temple. It's on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And it is a permanent structure. It is there that is established, and it is built of stone on the rock. And you and I are preparing, being prepared for the place that God is building for us. A place that is not built with hands. It's even better than this. It's even better than concrete and stone. It is better than what we see here in this image. We know that God is preparing us for the kingdom of God. Are you ready, saints of God? Are you ready for the kingdom of God? Well, I pray that you are ready. It says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, in Exodus 40:34. Once they finished building the tent, it says that the cloud came down. Oh, I want the cloud to come. Do you want the cloud to come to your house? I want the cloud to come into my house. I want the cloud to come down and the glory of the Lord to fill the tabernacle. Well, saints of God, I pray that you, like Paul, are filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God. I pray that you're being filled. I pray that you're being filled today, that you're being filled up, that you're being strengthened, that you're being stirred up, that you're being manifested in God's presence, and that you feel the unctioning of the Spirit of God as he rises up, and that you can even find yourself in that position like Moses, where he was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Well, I pray that you are not just sitting in the midst of the cloud, but you are being filled with the glory. Oh, you need to be filled with the glory of the Lord. Oh, when we gather together, the cloud of God comes down. But oh, when we begin to magnify the Lord, when we begin to worship him, we begin to do all the things that God has called us to do in his presence, then his glory starts to come down, the glory of the Lord. I pray that you are taking home with you today some glory. Take home some glory and let it be released wherever you go, as you go through this week, allow it to be lifted up so that you can be like Jesus is saying here. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He says he then opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Well, saints of God, I pray that God has opened your mind to understand the scriptures. If he has not, when you pray, you ask God, open my mind to understand the scripture. God, open my mind that I may understand the word of God, that I may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And he goes on here in 2 Corinthians 5:1, our lead verse. And he says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You see, this body is definitely going to pass away one day. But I can assure you, when this body passes away, there's another one that's already going to be ready. And the very essence and the core of who you are will be transferred. You will be raptured from this body into the new body, the glorified body, the body that has been prepared by God. And you will find yourself in the home, in that place. Like Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Saints of God, we are on a journey from the tent to the tabernacle to the temple. And God is preparing us for a future and a great hope that is established in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now he is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved. God so
forget who you are as the people of God. You're in a tent right now that is being molded into a tabernacle that God can fill you with his glory, with the power of his presence, with the resources that you will need in order to overcome in this world, that you will be able to be strengthened in the strength of God, in the power of God, so that when he comes, when he calls you home, when he is ready to receive you, when your permanent structure is ready for you, you indeed will have a place to go. You will be in that place that is not built with human hands, but built by the Spirit of God. I pray that you're encouraged today and that you understand that no matter what happens in the world around us, we are in a place of insulation. As we are able to walk in the ways of God, he will guide and he will guide and he will protect his people. He will enable us to overcome every obstacle. The Holy Spirit will unction you and he will guide you. He will show you what to do, whether to go or whether to wait, whether to turn left or turn right, or whether to go forward or whether to stand still. You will see and know that God is guiding you through whatever the option and the opportunities are. God will make a way. Whatever the challenges or the difficulties are, God will enable you to make it through. He will make a way for you. He will enable you to overcome because you are a child of God. And he is moving you from being a tent to the temple of the Spirit of God in the kingdom of God that is not temporary, but which is eternal. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would establish yourself in our hearts and in our minds. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. Sustain us and keep us. Enable us to overcome, that we would not live a life of panic and fear and anxiety, but that we would operate in a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. and that we would be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to walk in faith, worship in the power and the glory of God to establish a powerful anointed presence where healing and liberty will take place, where every weight and every form of bondage would be liberated and fall free from our people, and that the glory of God would be established in the midst of us, that the joy and the peace and the presence of God and all the goodness of the Lord would be established in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. Glory.